Africa Global Radio. Our story, our growth, our future.
Journey of Faith, exploring the Hajj experience with Alhaji Dr. Bella Bello Bitugu. Episode 3.
The pilgrimage proper is where you go to Mina and stay in a tent for 3 days. Then you go to Arafat. From Arafat, you go to Muzdalifah to pick the stones, stay overnight there under no shelter, just the bare sky, and then pick the stones. And the following day, you go to Jamarat to stone the shaitan. And after that, you come back to your tent and shave. You have now completed your Hajj and you are now a full Muslim who has completed the Hajj pilgrimage. What you are now going to hear will be the experiences from Makkah to Mina into the camp, staying there 1, 2, 3 days, and then move to Arafat, from Arafat to Muzdalifah, to stay the night there, pick the stones, then to Jamarat to stone the shaitan, the devil, the next day. And then you move to your tent and you start shaving your hair. If you are a man and a woman, you just cut part of the hair. And then you can, in that case, go out of your ihram because you have now finished your Hajj and you have slaughtered the ram.
The day 4 is basically that of Mina. The day started actually on a disorganized note. Today is Friday, so on Wednesday we were told that we'll be leaving at 11 p.m. in the night. So clearly people were ready, putting things together, packing, etc. We did not leave until about, I think around 5 a.m. Mina is actually not far from Makkah. I think it's about 5 kilometers actually. That is the only thing I'll say has faltered. But when we got out finally, when it was going, I think they managed the crowd very well. The buses kept flowing and flowing. And part of the explanation they gave was also that the passes will be provided by the Saudi authorities, and they gave them the time, and so that is what they were able to do or they could do. They finally boarded and came. And actually, that is one aspect that you see huge, huge logistics, huge organization, huge, huge, huge. In fact, it's massive. Here you are catering for 1 million people. This is the lowest in the last few years. It should actually have been about 2.5 to 3 million. I have the feeling if COVID hadn't come and pilgrimage had continued 2019, 2020, 2021, I mean, 2019 there was pilgrimage. If it had continued from then up to today, I'm sure the numbers would even have been increased because of, you know, the projections and the population increase generally. But it did not, clearly, and there is even a reduction. About a third thereabout are actually the ones coming here. But even then, you imagine that you organize such an infrastructure outside in the desert to house people in tents, waterproof, fully air-conditioned, mattresses, pillows, and blankets, washrooms. You know what it means as a Muslim. A Muslim needs water, and getting it, dividing it for male and female. Every single country has a quarters. Every single country. It's amazing. The tents are endless. You can't see that far. All over, every country, male, female, male, female. There are hospitals and food. There was breakfast the moment we got to Mina by the gate. We were given our wraps. We were given our package. In fact, some of them are still being used. I mean, about 5 cups, apple, biscuits, tea bags, coffee, sachet, sugar, milk, etc., which you could take for, I think, 4 or 5 times. And the rest, and some are even still taking this. In fact, I also just took back. My coffee got finished. I don't even know how it got finished, because I took only 2, actually. But never mind. So such an organization, you know. And then there was lunch. Everybody got lunch. This is not the time to take chances. You can't fall sick. And even there is provision in Islam. If you do not do the Arafah, you do not have a Hajj. So even if you come to Mecca and you are a Hajj and you are sick, on the Arafah day, they will have to transport you to the Arafah ground, if it is possible to transport you or for you to be there, so that you can get your Hajj and get the full complement of Hajj. So in the end, everybody got food. But you realize that, you know, the washroom, the bin, the janitorial services, they were up and coming. The number of people using the washrooms, I mean, you are talking of 1 million people. In our area, for example, we have 3,000, and we are not the only one. We have other countries. Chad is there. Chad is part of those who are coming to us. I think there is an Asian country. I don't know. I'm not sure it's Pakistan. I think it may be Pakistan after all, and 1 or 2 other countries using that same washroom, with some other African countries. Yes, yeah, it's huge. I mean, Ghana alone, 3,000. You bring the others, so you are getting janitorial services, whatever services, for how many people? 20,000 people, and the rest. And I was amazed, though, the washroom, yeah, you could smell it. But relatively okay. I doff my cap for our fellow people. Quite okay. Then the rubbish. Then there are pots with hot water. At one point, it got finished. But endless supply of water. There are buckets all over with cubes. Water. Everywhere. The clinic is functioning. The communication room is functioning. Announcing. People are moving up and down. The medical staff are very friendly. It is, and then you get to the tent, and the people are all the same. Different kinds of people, from what you call a laborer to who you call a manager. I mean, excuse me, my language. I just want to, you know, tell you what it is, that equal level. And that is what we are going to see more in Arafat. And what you also realize is that there are a lot of women, even among the Ghanaian contingent, the women are more. What actually explains that? I don't know. Could it be that the children want to pay for their moms first, or want to pay only for their mom? Could it be that? Could it be that the women are really very industrious and so are able to pay? Could it be that the men are paying for their moms or their wives? Could it be that the women have saved or are more conscious of saving towards going for Mecca, even if they are doing the same job with men? I don't know, but it's amazing to observe. And one would like to maybe delve deeper to see what exactly is the reason, what exactly is the cause, what is actually happening. But so amazing and so interesting to see the women are actually more than the men. And then it's also relative calm, relative peace. We were in the tent. So the Mina is actually a transit point to prepare you, to gather you, and to put you in readiness towards Arafat. And that is what we did yesterday, just hanging around the tent. They woke us up, I think, at 12:30 or 1 a.m. Why they did that, I still don't know, but never mind. So we went there. They said, wake up, you have to go and do ibadah and the rest and so on. Bus is coming, has come. And I was wondering, are we just late? And then we went, took the bath. Long queue, as you can imagine, huge long queue. We had our bath, and then I came, did my Nafila prayer, And then sitting, and Charlie, nothing was happening. I said, what's going on? They said, oh, it's about 1:13. I said, what? And Fajr is around 4 a.m. So we are 3 hours early. We waited, and then around 4 we prayed Fajr. And then we set off and then came to Arafat, passed by the mountain. It's an endless, you know, convoys and tents and buses. So, you know, Arafat is really the thing with Hajj. And, you know, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually did only one pilgrimage to Mecca. He did it only once. You know, he was from Mecca. He grew up here, was born here. He started preaching and the people were so hostile. And at one point, Allah commanded him that he should actually leave and go to Medina. And that is what we call in Arabic the Hijrah in Islam. And that is when we have our calendar starting. The Gregorian calendar started from AD, if you like. That is after the dead. That's the Gregorian calendar. And we use the lunar calendar. That is the Hijrah. So he left to Medina. He came, I think, 3, 4, 5 times or so back to Mecca. And one of the coming was the Hajj. And he did his Hajj. He did only one Hajj. And at the Hajj, he did the last sermon. And that sermon was held at the bottom of Mountain Arafat. And that sermon actually was to say, I have completed, and in fact there was a revelation of a surah that today I have accomplished your religion and I've given you Islam as a religion. That is the difference, where Islam has been mentioned by God and in the Quran and given. That is the religion which has been named by God himself, by Allah himself, which is not to be compared with other religions where the names actually might have come from some incidents or activities and the rest. So it was at Mountain Arafat, at the bottom, at the end there, that he actually did the last sermon, the last khutbah at the ground of Mountain Arafat. And so this is part of the commemoration of Hajj, to round it up. And so you round the Hajj up by going to Mountain Arafat, and that is the major difference really for the Hajj commemoration and observation. So that is what we did today. And what happens is you go there, you sit down around the tent, and then you can be supplicating and there until when it is Zuhur time, and you combine Zuhur and Asr together. You pray the 2 rak'ats, and after that you continue your supplications, because it is even said that Allah on that day will ask all his angels and say, come under the leadership of the lead angel, Angel Gabriel. And he will come with the angels, and apparently Allah will ask, what are all these people doing? And in fact, he will command them to shut the doors of hell and open the doors of heaven, paradise, Jannah. And then he will ask, what are they looking for? What is it? They said, they are looking for your blessings, your rahmah. He will say, give it to them. And it is actually a day where they say your prayers are most accepted and are most regarded and are most answered. And that is why Arafat is a very, very great day. So anyone going to Mecca, they say, people give them the message, you're going to Arafat, pray for me and the rest. And it's very good. And people pray, supplicate, read Quran and the rest. That's what we did. Prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And that is what we did up to the evening. I didn't go to the Mountain Arafat itself. I really wanted to go, but it's about 7 kilometers away. And actually, they tried to discourage people from going to the Mountain Arafat because it is not to become a kind of a cult like the grave the tomb of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So 7 kilometers and the likelihood that you may get lost, and which is fine. So I said, I didn't go. And in fact, the Prophet himself didn't actually go there. So that is how we spent it. And then we supplicated, did everything. And now the next one is we then had to drive to Muzdalifah, where we are now in the open, no shade, no tent, nothing, where we will have to spend the night. But the night is spent by picking the pebbles that we have to use tomorrow to stone the shaitan. Tomorrow we will go, we will do only one. There are 3 points of the stoning. I'll come to that one later. So we pick the stone and then we prepare for tomorrow. We will do that. And once we finish, we are going back to Mina, and that we will walk. Bus will bring us here, but going to stone the shaitan, you do not have a bus. You go by foot, and then we will then move on to Mina, and you can walk to Mecca and do your Hajj Tawaf if you are not tired, or you take a bus, a car, or what, or you go to Mina, you take a rest. But once you have done the stoning, you go and do the slaughtering. And if you have paid the money for the slaughtering, then that is fine. Then you can rest in Mina till the following day again. Then you do the remaining two stonings. But now, once you do the first stoning tomorrow and you do the slaughtering, you can then shave, then cut your nails, and then you can remove your ihram, and you can start dressing normally and bathing normally to do the other rituals of stoning and then the Hajj Tawaf stoning and then the Hajj Tawaf. So there are four things left now. There is the stoning, there is the Hajj Tawaf, there is the slaughtering, and then there is the cutting of hair and clipping. If any two you do, you can remove your ihram and you do the rest in your normal dress. So this is what is going to happen tomorrow, and this is what has happened today.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ.
This is an Africa Global Radio production.